And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week. We're going to begin our study here in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 1, a gospel written by not an apostle, as it was with the Gospel of John that we took a look at last, but here Mark, he's a nephew to Barnabas, and he is kin to Mary that was there near the Lord. John Mark himself may have indeed seen the Lord. It seems to be that is the case. A man that had trouble. He dealt with turmoil and a lack of faith in his life, but through the blessing of his uncle Barnabas and ministering to him, he was faithful to the Lord. He even helped the Apostle Paul, if we understand it correctly, and then led of the Lord to write his own gospel, his own account of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to start in this gospel, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse number 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so Mark makes a very definitive statement in that. And we're going to find that Mark is very concise in his writing. He gets right down to the point, not a lot of fluff. The smallest of the gospels, if my memory is serving me correctly, I'm looking here to see the number of the chapters. I'm thinking 13. And Mark has 16 chapters in it, and so the smallest of the Gospels, even though it has 16 chapters, they're very small chapters, and Mark just gets right to the heart of it in writing the things that he writes. Here he says, this is the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and there are those today that would have us to believe that Jesus is a Son of God, or a Son unto God, like we are made sons of God in salvation. But what we have to remember is what the Lord tells us in John chapter 3, that in verse number 16, a very familiar passage, but yet very powerful and packed full of essential information. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus is the only Son born to the Lord in the flesh. We who are made sons, made the sons of God, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but we're born of God. Okay, the scripture says there in John chapter 1. We are adopted. We are born of the Lord spiritually, but Jesus Christ was born of the Lord physically because it's the Spirit of God that came upon Mary, and he conceived within her that holy thing that would be the Son of God. So he is God in the flesh. Always has been God, as we saw in John chapter 1. It is the truth, and he is, this is his gospel. He is the Savior. His name is Jesus. His office is Christ, or Savior, and he is the Son, the only begotten Son of God. And then Mark writes here in verse number 2, as it is written in the prophets, and so he references the Old Testament. Oh, we don't need the Old Testament today. The Old Testament is so old fogey. It's just so boring. So-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. Well, with all those begets that are in the Old Testament scripture, following those through and doing that study and following those genealogies that are in there, we find that the earth is 6,000 years old. And so all that beget so-and-so, beget so-and-so, beget so-and-so, tells us about the line of Christ, tells us that it was very much real, tells us about the age of the earth, and then there's just many other nuggets and blessings and testimonies of the saints of God and their lives tucked in there that are a help and blessing unto us. Mark refers to the Old Testament scriptures, and that which was written to the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." This is speaking of none other than John the Baptist, a man sent from God, a man sent from God to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man sent to baptize where none other had been sent before to baptize repentant sinners. John is sent by the Lord to have this message of the Lord and prepare this way of the Lord and to baptize those that were looking unto him, looking to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Indeed, he did. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness," as it says in Isaiah, "prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And so John came preaching a wonderful message, a message about the Lord Jesus. He said, "The Lamb of God is at hand." And as he saw the Lord, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Let's listen to John's ministry. "John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Okay, and so let's take a look at that. "John did baptize in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." And this word "for" is rendered here this way, but it's also its meaning is "because." And we know that from all the other scriptures that come about. Baptism is not for the regeneration of any sinner, but it's to tell about us how a sinner has been saved by the Lord, how he has been regenerated or given life. "John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance because of the remission of sins." Sinners repented. Listen to what it says in verse number 5. "And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins." They said, "I'm a sinner. I'm trusting in this Savior that you're preaching, John. I'm trusting, and I believe that you are sent by God to preach this message and to give this baptism. And yes, I have been saved. Yes, I am trusting in the Savior. And I want to identify with him." That's what baptism is all about, and that burying in the water. We identify with the burying, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his burial, because he was dead. And then as that person is brought up out of the water, they are, as Christ rose from the dead, we are risen to new life in him. The old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and we're saved from our sins. This water doesn't wash our sins away, but it tells and shows forth to the world and to that church administering that baptism that I, the sinner, being baptized with faith in Christ, have been saved by the Lord, and I identify with him. I needed him to do these things for me, and I identified. I'm buried with Christ in this way. He did that not for himself, but he did that for me, for me. And so we see here about this. If we take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ and what he preached going forward in this chapter, what did Jesus preach? And saying, verse number 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel and be baptized." No, it doesn't say that, does it? But repentance and faith in the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel is how sinners are saved. Baptism is indeed obedience, but it's not an element of salvation. And so we see here that all the land of Judea and those of Jerusalem confessed their sins or were baptized of him in the river Jordan. Verse number 6. And John was a different looking fellow, was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. He had been taught of the Lord in that wilderness, in that foothill, in the foothills of Judea. And he was a rough looking character. He was a man that was just all about the business of the Lord. He was a man that did not go for the soft things of life and the easy things of life, but he had a ministry and a calling and a spirit of the Lord upon him, and he was a different looking fella. He was coming, what? In the spirit of Elijah, and as was prophesied it would be. In verse 7, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. So contrast that to the abuse of the Lord Jesus as he stood there before the Jews and before the high priest's father-in-law, before the high priest and the Sanhedrin, and where they abused our Lord and they slapped him and they spit upon him and they plucked his beard and they hit him on the head. And closed his, covered his eyes and smacked him and punched him in the face. And John says, I'm not worthy to reach down and undo his shoe latchet. I'm not worthy to reach down and undo the latchet of his sandals. I'm not worthy to stoop down and to unloose them. Oh, what a contrast. John says, this is God. This is God in the flesh. In other places, the scripture bears out that John says, he cometh after me, but he's preferred before me because he was before me. There are those who purport that Jesus was at the beginning and that Jesus was at the creation and that Jesus was created by God. They would say that Jesus was created by Jehovah God. And so they claim that Jehovah is the only God. Well, God Almighty always has been. And the Father has always been there. And the Son has always been. And the Holy Spirit of God has always been. Oh, yes, a body was created for Jesus. But Jesus never had been created, no more than the Father, no more than the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus always has been. And listen to this. How can that which would have a creation, how can that or he who would be believed by some to be created by God have power such as this over the Spirit of God? Let's read. John says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit of God. In other places, the Gospels testify that he shall both baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, how is it that the Holy Spirit of God, or as he tells us in the book of Revelation, the seven spirits of God, be subject to one who would be created by God? Oh, Jesus came in the flesh, and the Father made him a body indeed, but he has always been, because he is God. And as John tells us in chapter 3, he has all of the Spirit of God, because he is God. He is God come in the flesh. The Gospel of Mark, I look forward to us going through this Gospel and seeing these things that the Lord impressed and leaned upon our brother to write. And here we start again, as we see in all the Gospels, there's a necessity to mention this about John the Baptist and how he preceded the Lord as it was prophesied, and how Jesus, the Son of God, came as the Scriptures prophesied that he would. Well, I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles, and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.